Don't you look now, but the skinny boy's becoming a man. For anybody wondering, that is the second track on Kilroy Was Here by Styx called Cold War, if that wasn't clear enough. Why did they have to go and make it sound like a carnival? Why did they have to make Cold War sound like it should be playing at a county fair?
I could not tell you. I mean, granted, the lead singer of Styx is a weird dude.
Kilroy Was Here specifically is an album that I'm glad it was made.
Yeah.
Should not have been made. It's a fucking mess.
And welcome back to another episode of Who Is My Doctor?
Who is my doctor?
Who is indeed? I am your host, Zach, and I know a lot about Doctor Who.
And I'm also your host, Cassie. And I know a lot about other things that aren't Doctor Who.
But Doctor Who, you somehow feel like you're steadily learning less every day.
Mm-hmm.
Every episode, you feel like you know less and less. It slips through your hand like sand.
Yep. God, I hate sand.
Lost like tears in rain.
It's rough and coarse and gets everywhere.
Not like tears and rain.
No.
Today we are watching Series 7, Episode 9, Cold War. Yeah, so this place is... Cassie's so excited right now because she's thinking about the Styx song, Cold War.
Every time you say the title, I just want to go, Cold War!
Well,
sick little guitar riff and those silly boppy sounds, that's going to be the song for your sneaky peek.
It is funny you keep singing, Cassie, because this episode does prominently feature an 80s tune. But we'll get to that in just a minute.
is it that one?
It is not by Styx. I will tell you who it's by, but it's part of the Cassie for Fassy in just a minute.
Could you fucking imagine if I just blindly stumbled my way? I fell ass backwards into a correct answer.
Before I even asked the question.
Yo. Could you imagine if I guessed the song, doubted myself, got it wrong?
The way there wouldn't be a part two of this episode because you would have killed me between parts.
Yeah. Part two would have literally just been me.
The sound of me choking.
It would have been me and a Weekend at Bernie's version of you where it's just me talking to myself.
Can I hear how that would sound?
Yeah, so I really liked the episode. Oh, man, I did too.
Wow, that person was dead on.
Wow, Zach, it's really good that we can both agree on something for once. Oh, man, yeah, we never agree on anything. Whoa, Zach, that's really misogynistic. Very 50s husband of you. Get it into the kitchen. I practically live there, mate. You're going to have to try harder than that.
Well, no.
Wait, can you give me a score for my impression of you?
I would say that's a solid, like, 8 out of 10. I feel like you really captured my intrinsic...
Because here's the thing.
You really captured how much I hate women and want them to only make me a sandwich.
Yep.
It's a fact everyone can get
He leaves
me.
When he goes into a Jimmy John's and there's only male workers there. He turns right out.
You can't trust male people making sandwiches.
That's like how I can't trust...
I barely trust it already because his name is Jimmy and John. That's two guys' names.
That's like when I walk into a coffee shop. If I don't see a queer they, them with colored hair behind the counter, I don't order anything.
Because you can't trust it.
I literally can't. I can't do it.
Well, since I've told you that Cold War is, in fact, not about the Styx song, what would you be expecting from an episode called Cold War, Cassie?
So, picture this.
All right.
It's the 50s.
Okay.
And Russia and the United States aren't talking to each other.
The Cold War actually lasted for quite a while.
That's why I said the 50s.
That's the thing is, this episode takes place in 1983.
Okay, so it's a little...
After the 50s.
I was a little off.
A little off.
But two nations aren't talking to each other.
Yeah, but it is centered largely around...
They're just talking a whole lot about what they have and what the other one doesn't have.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just going, nuh-uh, yeah-huh, nuh-uh, yeah-huh. Yeah, if you go through... fun fact, if you go through vintage like communications between... The nations that were not talking to each other, it's all just nuh-uh and yahans. Like, they have it in the Smithsonian. It's crazy.
Well, let's dig into it a little bit with the Casper Fasti, and then we can see what you might really be expecting from Cold War. Because as you did sort of touch near a point, this episode does feature a recurring appearance from an 80s tune. However, it was not by Styx. This song is by Duran Duran.
Uh-oh.
It's a song that comes up at three separate points in this episode.
Okay, yeah, this is very question up my alley. But the second you said Duran Duran, brain went, I know not of that band.
What is a Duran Duran?
Why are there two?
Do you perhaps mean the fruit, the durian? Do you mean two of them, a durian durian?
Double durian?
No, this episode features a Duran Duran song that comes up at three separate points.
God damn it. Is my question what the song is?
Your question is, in fact, can you name the song that comes up?
May I look at a list?
Of course you can look at
a
list.
Thank you. This right now, I'm like, the first song that came up was The Wolf One.
The Wolf One? we are double Duran, and this is our song, The Wolf One. One, two, three, four.
Okay, because I really, really would love it to be Girls on Film. I think that would be really fun.
Because mm-hmm.
arguably, I'm going through my favorite songs. So I don't feel like you would give me this question if it didn't have to do with my favorite song. I forget.
To be honest, I didn't actually pick it for any... I'll eat your fish.
I don't think it's Rio. I do think it's Hungry Like a Wolf.
You think it's Hungry Like a Wolf?
I'm trying to think about what song specifically, because of the Duran Duran songs that I would be able to pick out of a hat,
mm-hmm.
it would be Girls on Film, Rio, or Hungry Like a Wolf.
Yeah, that really narrows it down for you.
Girls on Film, I would love to see, and I don't think that is going to be correct.
Okay.
Rio, maybe. But Hungry Like a Wolf feels like something.
It feels like probably when even your brain went, The Wolf One.
Yeah.
It feels pretty synonymous with Duran Duran. I could definitely see that for sure.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I didn't necessarily pick it for any reason related to you. I picked it because I thought it would be a fun question that wasn't in the same vein of our usual questions. I don't normally get to ask you questions about pop music, and this time we got one. So Cassie is picking Hungry Like a Wolf.
Hungry Like a Wolf.
Because this next question is very much in the vein of previous questions, so much so that I basically lifted it from another one. You're going to meet an alien from all the way back in the black and white era, but also had a pretty long life in the classic series. You're going to meet an ice warrior of Mars. And the entire time we've seen them, we've only ever seen them in their armor. This marks the first time we've seen them out of it. But knowing your preference for 70s men in suits.
Yeah. Cheese, as it were.
Cheese, as it were. Yeah. I will give you. I'm trying to figure out how I could phrase this correctly. I will give you a point for each aspect of their description you can get right. So this is an opportunity to get multiple points for a question. And we will just stick to it being in their armor since we're going to stick with the 70s vibe.
Okay.
To give you a modicum of a hint, I will let you know that Jamie McCrimmon, back when the show was in black and white, referred to them as great lumbering lizards.
Interesting. Okay.
So what sort of imagery does that convey to you? And again, for every aspect you choose to include that is correct, you will get a point. So you can get 1 point, or you can get as many as you happen to stumble into.
A great lumbering lizard. Okay. Is it mascot-y? Like, can you give me that much? Like,
yeah, I would. I guess you could. I mean, it's not. It doesn't look like an animal per se. Like, it doesn't. It doesn't have like a big animal head attached to it.
In terms of like what it looks like, it's made out of. Does it have that mascot quality of being something that is built from a wire frame covered in something, or does it look like it is supposed to be made out of something hefty, even if the material that they used was not?
I think it's supposed to look like it's hefty.
Okay.
Like it's meant to be heavy armor.
So it is meant to look not unlike or feel not unlike Zeke.
Zeke.
Fourth grader.
Oh, yes.
Where it's foam, yes. But it's meant to be rock.
Yes. From Very Important People, Zeke, the fourth grader who is made of rocks. Yes. Yes.
Okay. So it has more of that energy then. So yes. It's not, it is intentionally heavy looking.
Yes. It, okay. Yeah. It's very clearly meant to be like, it's meant to look like it could take a beating.
Going that route, then it has some kind of scale, perhaps like a scale armor.
Okay. Is there a particular kind of lizard that it invokes to you when you picture a great lumbering lizard armor?
Like, yes, perhaps alligator, but now I'm thinking maybe even something more ancient looking, like a Komodo dragon.
Okay. I'd have to look at a Komodo dragon.
They look like little pit bulls. Like lizard. Like lizard pit bulls.
So it looks like, looking at pictures of Komodo dragons, looks like they have much like finer scales than like a crocodile.
Like they have some tough skin though, dude.
Yeah.
Like it's not as defined as like an alligator's, just because they have like the underbelly and then they have like the top layer. So thematically, alligator is a much more intriguing armor to build.
Okay.
But if we're going based off of a great lumbering lizard, Komodo dragons just kind of hang out on rocks.
It's a great slumbering lizard.
Yeah, like if you go and look at the one at the LA Zoo, they have like three different habitats it can like hang out in during the day, where it's like, here is the morning habitat, here is the afternoon, here is evening. Literally, I have never seen that thing move in my whole life.
Wow.
It's just, granted, it's probably bored as hell, but. So aesthetically speaking, I'm thinking something like that crossed with something like an alligator skin. So it looks like it's very dense and rough, but it has multiple textures.
Okay. So you're picturing like a heavy scaled sort of armor look. Okay.
I suppose like something almost dragon-y.
Okay. Okay, I can go with that. Do we want to talk about their heads at all? Like, do you have a picture of like a head shape or any prominent head features?
Is the head...
The head is also covered in armor.
Okay, so the head is armor.
Yeah.
I might lean in with the dragon sort of motif I have going on and say it's almost dragon-y. Not... Because that does, admittedly, leave a little bit of room for interpretation because... Mm-hmm. Could I mean European or Japanese or Chinese dragon?
Fair enough.
Yeah.
So, but you're picturing also like a lizard like head in one way or the other.
Yeah.
Okay. I will tell you the only thing that is
reptilian.
The only thing in their classic armor that is not covered is their mouth. Like, so they can still talk.
Is it like a Cyberman situation where it is like a clear glass shield?
No, their mouth is fully uncovered. It is just okay. Like the helmet. Just
so if that's the case, then the helmet is something then that is like, how would I describe that kind of a mask? It's something then that then just covers the top part. So it's like nose, eyes, head. Is all covered.
There's like it's like a cutout around the mouth, basically.
Okay, because like I have a mask specifically like in my collection that I'm drawing inspiration from that does cover everything but the mouth.
Okay.
So that's kind of what I'm.
Okay.
Or are you talking something more Batman?
It's not
like a cowl.
I guess you could describe it as Batman-y because it is. It really is like it covers the cheeks. But it doesn't cover the mouth and the.
Okay, so we'll go with like a reptilian cowl then for the top of the head.
Okay. Any other features you want to throw in there?
Claws. Claws.
Okay, so we're throwing some claws on the hands. Any other things that you want to throw in and try and get some points
for? Boots.
Cool boots. Okay, so they got cool boots. They got scale armor. They got claws. They got, what was it? How did you describe the headpiece? Like a Batman cowl?
Yeah, I wrote reptilian cowl.
Okay.
It gives me a little wiggle room to argue my point.
Okay. Since I told you about that they have their mouths exposed, do you have any ideas as to what their mouth?
Oh, they got fangs for sure.
Fangs for sure.
Yeah, they got fangs.
And by fangs, do you mean like vampire fangs or do you mean like chompy? They've
got like chompy teeth.
Okay, like chompy jigsaw teeth. Okay,
I think so.
Alrighty then. Okay. I think we got enough to go on there.
Like there was in the same vein as Dropout, very important people. The teeth that Lisa Gilroy wears for her, like little yellow monstrosity, like just like very sharp.
Okay. That's good. Okay. That's enough to go with, I think.
Like needle teeth.
Okay. All right. Well, I think you
can. For that, I'm writing fangs/needle teeth. I'm cashing in on both.
Okay, I think that's a fair claim. Anything else that you want to try and stake a claim in to get some bonus points, or you, like anything with their eyes?
Reptilian, lumbering lizards. They might have like slee stackian eyes, just like big old like gecko orbs.
Okay, big gecko orb eyes.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're thinking like big, probably no pupils. When you say it that way, because you're talking about the slee stacks, I'm assuming that you mean just like they're a solid color.
I think so. If we're dating back, then it would just be.
Sleestacks, I think, were solid black. Is that right?
It depends on because. Oh, my God. I forgot his name almost immediately. The red one.
OK. Oh, that's a red one.
Yeah. Because I feel like he had like almost ambery eyes. But more often than not, yes. Other just like the green Sleestack all have just like black.
OK. So you're thinking big black eyes?
I just think that like. Structurally, they're just orbs.
Okay.
They might have some kind of painting underneath to indicate that there is an eye, but that's getting a little too technical.
Okay.
So I'm saying, just from a general standpoint, I think that their eyes are constructed to just be like big old dumb orbs.
big dumb eyes. Alrighty.
Yeah, big dumb eyes. Thank you.
All right, big dumb eyes. Alrighty. Well, I think you got a few points there. Do you want to try and nab any bonus points for how they look? Inside, or we want to just call that a day?
Hell no.
All right. Well, we will find out together if that is what an ice warrior from Mars looks like, and if he's listening to Duran Duran's Hungry Like a Wolf. We'll find out together as we watch Series 7, Episode 9, Cold War.
Tired of overpriced theme parks, mile-long lines, and pretzels so expensive you have to finance them? Then come on down to Parklandia.
Parklandia!
Thrill seekers will scream with glee on our centerpiece attraction, the Big Red Slide, featuring a 12-foot drop, a static shock surprise at the bottom, and that one kid who goes down headfirst every time, no matter how many times his mother tells him not to.
Parklandia!
Snack like royalty on cuisine from around the globe. And by the globe, we mean the corner vending machine and Greg's ice cream cart. Try our exotic offerings like lukewarm bottled water, pre-melted rocket pops, and the ever-mysterious bag of half-eaten chips left on the bench.
Parklandia?
Experience cutting-edge attractions like the swing set that might give you tetanus, the seesaw of negotiated trust, and our terrifying new exhibit, the Porta-Potty of Peril. All this for the low, low price of technically free. Located behind the middle school next to the baseball field, past the weird statue of the famous guy who was probably racist. Parklandia, where the magic is municipal.
She dances on the sand. Did you know there are 200 beavers in the Rio Grande?
And then the doctor, he will fight a lizard man.
He will call his family, then he won't be sad.
We just watched Cold War. And, in case you were curious why it was called Cold War, it's about Cold War being happening during the Cold War.
Literally under the ice.
Under the ice, yes. The coldest of Cold Wars.
Like, they couldn't have made it colder.
Or warrior.
No.
It was about a bunch of soldiers.
It did have a warrior in it, too.
It did have
good
a warrior
job.
In it. An ice warrior.
Yes.
A cold ice warrior.
Whoa.
See, there's so many layers to this onion, Cassie. We could be here all day.
Well, do you know what else there are layers of? Ice in the Arctic.
Oh, my God. And fewer the longer we go on. Anyway, what did you think about the episode, Cassie?
I thought it was fine.
Thought it was fine?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think this is a very, like... If you were to show someone just like a vibe of Doctor Who, this is the vibe of Doctor Who.
It is a very, what's the word I'm looking for? Not chemical, like procedural.
Okay.
Outline. It follows a very like familiar.
Okay. Like I said, this is what a Doctor Who episode feels like.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is the formula of.
Thank you. A very formula. Do you like that? My brain went. Chemistry. Chemical procedure. It was a very formulaic episode of Doctor Who.
Yeah, very formulaic
Thank
episode.
Thank you for helping.
Which is suitable for when you're going to bring back these classic monsters, is to really give it that classic feel where a base is under siege.
Mm-hmm.
The base just happens to be a Soviet submarine trapped under the water.
Under the ice.
That water, speaking of, that water has to be so cold.
Oh, it's the coldest.
This is so... like, this is before... Before we had properly repaired the hole of the ozone layer, and it's near the North Pole, and that water's just flooding. They don't talk about it at all, but they should have like blue appendages. Like they're.
Oh, yeah. I also, can I be really very honest?
Yes.
I forget how large submarines are.
They're boats. They're big old.
Well, because here's
battle
the thing
cruise
is,
ships underwater.
The number of times that I personally have been able to step foot on a submarine is. Number one, at Disneyland, mm-hmm. which is not a very big submarine.
No, it's not even a real one.
And number two, they do have some that are, what would the word, moored? Because they're not docked.
Yeah.
I think it's moored. There are a couple, specifically in San Diego, there is one where you can pay to go in and walk around. And I suppose the one in Paris Disneyland, too. They have the 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. Mm-hmm. Which is very cool because every so often there's a big old squid. That's an attraction. I know that is not real submarine. but
birthed is apparently the term for docking a submarine. It has been birthed. B-E-R-T-H.
Couldn't have picked a different word.
Moored actually is another term as well.
Okay, cool. I was correct.
Yeah, particularly when a submarine is secured to a buoy or other floating structure.
Okay. But I forget how large they are.
Yeah.
Because I am so used to just seeing the little sticky outy bit for you to enter inside, but everything else is under the water and I have no concept.
In your brain, a submarine is like a pool toy or a sandwich. It's not really a...
Yeah. I'm expecting it to be 12 inches long, not 12 feet wide, you know?
Yeah. But it's a fun setting. We don't really get settings like this in Doctor Who, where everything feels very confined and claustrophobic.
Very confined, and the thing that they do to make it feel like you're in different areas, which I think is really cool, is they just play with the lights.
Yeah.
And fog effects.
Yeah, it's a really good way of being able to, like, tell that you're in a different space. Especially because in a submarine, everything does just kind of look the same. It all just looks like metal grating behind metal plating. But I like it. I think it's a very fun setting. I really like...
I like that the production team just had a field day with, let's see, so we'll only use red, blue, and yellow lights. Okay, cool. Primary colors. All right. Some will have some kind of spinny strobe effect. Cool. All right. That's another variation. And fog machines. We'll get a couple of those. We'll have water. We'll have water effects. And we're going to use the same space, but in four different camera angles. So it looks like we're in a different room every time. Let's go, gang.
Yeah. And then, of course, the casting in this episode is also just fantastic. It features both Liam Cunningham, who is known as you haven't seen Game of Thrones, but he plays Davos Seaworth in Game of Thrones. Mm-hmm. I love him he's got such a great voice. Like he's got a way.
That was the main guy.
That was
right?
The captain of the Captain Zukov of the submarine. There's a particular way that Liam Cunningham like rolls his R's for most of the way he speaks, and it's very like It gives my brain a good tingle every time he does it.
It gives your brain the same tingle that, like, Dalek voice
a little
gives
bit.
My brain the tingle.
I mean, it's jumping ahead a little bit, but the voice for Skaldak is also...
Oh my god, I don't know if you saw me go...
The voice for Skaldak is also Nicholas Briggs, the voice of the Daleks.
Fucking...
He's very good.
I love this man.
He's so talented.
Could you imagine? Could you imagine one day, far off in the future, I meet Nicholas Briggs and I just start crying?
This episode also features a man named Tobias Menzies, who
Lieutenant
Stepishin. He's also from Game of Thrones. He played Edmure Tully in Game of Thrones. And then it also had David Warner playing Professor Grishenko, who I pointed out to you halfway through the episode is the bad guy in the first Tron movie.
Yeah, you said, imagine him being really mean to Jeff Bridges.
imagine him 40 years younger and picking on Jeff Bridges. Yes. He was also in both Star Wars. He was also in Star Trek 4 and 5, I believe. Making sure I get all my... Yeah, he was in Star Trek, sorry, Star Trek 5 and 6. He was in Star Trek 5 and 6. He was in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2. He's in a lot of movies. He was in Titanic. He was in Scream 2. He was in the Tim Burton Planet of the Apes movies. He was in Mary Poppins Returns as the neighbor that kept setting off the cannon. That's a very prolific actor. He was also the alien commander in Dreamland that we watched a few months ago. So that keeps coming up. And then, of course, Nicholas Briggs is the voice of Skaldak. And a man named Spencer Wilding was his body actor, who is a professional kickboxer and cruiserweight boxer.
You don't say.
Which is why he's so fucking big.
Jeez. So I know that we joked that inside Skaldak is just, as you said, a little guy.
Yeah, I was curious if you were just going to say, I think he's just a little guy.
No. That's reserved.
Because I think he is like, they don't really show you his full body, but they give you a lot of indications. One of which is that he's like 3 feet tall. Because there's a point where he's like scurrying down the hall and people like look what they're like looking at their waist level.
I thought he was on all fours for that.
He might have been. Like, the thing is, they don't really show you.
Because you had mentioned being on all fours. So I went, okay, if you mention that, then there is.
Well, I was trying to fish details out so I could give you more points. I do like his little long grabby hands.
I was joking the entire time we were watching the episode that his little grabby hands had the same amount of force behind them as a vintage claw machine. Just.
And then I don't know if
there's a visual component to that, but
you get the idea.
The listener.
It looks like he's barely holding on most times. The only time it doesn't look like that is with the professor. And I don't know if that's just the position that he got because he got hooked under the chin.
Perhaps.
And so he's like a wrinklier man.
That too. And I wonder if there is something too of like getting, quote, hooked under the chin. There is something of like, oh, cool. Now there is
something to catch on to.
Yeah, there is force here. You're not trying to grab a squishmallow from the Denny's.
And also, he was, in fact, a fan of Duran Duran's Hungry Like the Wolf. So you do get a point for that.
And I get points, I think, for many.
I know two for sure.
Scale, I would say, armor, yes.
Scale armor for sure.
Reptilian cowl, yes.
Yeah, reptilian cowl. I didn't know if you wanted to, because I...
Needle teeth, I'd say yes.
Yeah, I would say needle teeth as well.
Big dumb eyes, yes.
Well, that was the thing, because the way you were phrasing it, you pictured it being like big
bubble
eyes.
Don't know what I was picturing.
What were you picturing?
It just said big dumb eyes. Okay. There were indeed big dumb eyes. As opposed to like if they were just like slits.
Yeah, that's fair. I will give you the point.
Like his eyes were prominent on his face, therefore big dumb eyes.
Yeah, I will give you the point for big dumb eyes, I think.
Thank you.
I will not give it to you for claws, because while he has claws, the suit just has like has very like squared off fingertips.
And
he didn't really wear boots either.
I didn't clock any boot necessarily.
Yeah, it almost looks like just one hole. I think, like I said, I think he doesn't actually have feet in the suit. I think his feet stop at like hip level for the suit, and the suit's legs are just the legs.
That was something I was banking on them trying to give the actor more height and putting him in some kind of platform boot.
They didn't need to. They just hired a 6'7" kickboxer and are like, "You're good, man."
Yeah, they hired a literal half giant. And to out myself a little bit and say, I do think I was incorrect with claws. Our audience member, our single person audience, did show me a picture of the classic ones, and they do in fact have Lego hands. So I don't get the point for claws.
It's just little Lego grips, little C grips. I really like.
So in total, then that's 1, 2, 3, 4 points.
I would say 4 points. Yeah. So you can.
So 5 total with Hungry Like a Wolf.
5 total with Hungry Like a Wolf. Absolutely. So you get your 2 points plus 3 bonus points to make up for some missed questions in the past.
All right. So that puts me at 129.
Hooray.
Over 200. Hooray.
Wow. That's a lot of Profassi questions.
And a lot of me whining about the Profassi questions. To listen to me complain.
And a lot of the audience apparently being very mad at some of my questions for the Profassi. I still think about when we brought on
Jesse.
I think about when we brought on Jesse, and he was like, I'm going to ask you some bullshit this time, Zach. And I was like, I didn't think the questions I asked are that bad, but okay if you're mad about it.
People are in my corner, dude.
People appreciate the underdog. They like the underdog story.
Hell yeah, brother.
The undercast.
Eh, oh, nope. Not the undercast. That's for that is not for everyone.
It's between you and your OBGYN. Yep. And me, I guess.
Who happens to now be just 45 river otters in the suit.
That was just to be just a little guy.
He's just yep, just a little guy.
I like the Ice Warriors quite a bit. I think they're a fun but simple design. Like
one of us and you hurt us all.
Yeah. There's a very like warrior mentality to them. I like that they're dressed sort of like if crocodiles were torpedoes. Because they're like you would ask if it was like a Batman cowl. And I like that description enough that I gave you the point for it. But they are just sort of like bullet shaped hats. Or it looks like if you just load
a Batman cowl. Yeah. It's Batman cowl sans the ears.
Yeah, but it's just like this like rounded point head that it looks like you could just like they could jab you with their head a little bit and it would hurt.
Or you could throw them into the deep end of the pool.
Yeah,
and then you have to dive in and because you said torpedo. Yeah, okay. Joke wasn't good the first or second time.
This episode was written by Mark Gatiss, who has written a few other episodes in the past for us.
The name was familiar. I couldn't place it, though.
You will see him fairly soon. He has a bit part in the Fantastic Four.
Oh, is that?
With the TV host that you see in all the trailers. That's Mark Gatiss.
You're like, wow, I recognize him, but I don't.
Yeah, he has had a few. He's had a handful of bit parts in Doctor Who. If you remember, at the end of last season, where the Doctor is playing chess with a guy that's covered in prosthetics.
Yeah.
The guy covered in prosthetics is Mark Gatiss.
Okay.
Mark Gatiss also wrote several episodes of Doctor Who. He wrote The Unquiet Dead, the episode where Charles Dickens sees ghosts.
Ah.
He also wrote The Idiot's Lantern. He wrote Victory of the Daleks. He also wrote Night Terrors with a little boy that had the creepy ass dolls.
Yeah.
Okay,
so he does lean more like old school horror.
Yeah, he's
where it's not scary, but there is an element of suspense.
I think Mark Gatiss really likes to bring a lot of like the classic era feel to the show.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah,
because every episode you listed, I went, oh yeah, I remember that one.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right, I remember that one.
Yeah, they're not always the greatest episodes, but they are all.
They're memorable. If I'm sitting here going, oh yes, I know exactly which ones you're talking about.
They're memorable, and moreover, they capture like the. I think they're the closest the show gets to like capturing the classic show's feel.
I agree.
He's good at capturing the formula. He also has a part in Stephen Moffat's Sherlock. Like he does a lot of little things.
He had
a bit part in the newest Mission Impossible movie. Like he does so many weird things.
It reminds me of like what Brad Garrett is to Pixar.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like, there is no movie that centers around Brad Garrett being the main character.
Yeah.
But he is in a lot of Pixar movies.
What's the name of the guy who plays the pig? The piggy bank.
Rathberger. Rasenberger.
Yeah, something like that.
John Rasenberger.
John Ratzenberger? I think
it's Ratzenberger.
Yeah, I'll put his name here. If I'm wrong, I'll put it here.
John Smashburger.
Yeah, it is very much like he's not, it's a character actor. He's a character actor, but he's also a writer. And that's, it's a very unusual thing for him to be as prolific.
He can have fun.
Yeah, it's very unusual for someone to be that prolific in both things, to be both a prolific character actor and a prolific writer. That feels like the only other one I can really think of is the guy that played Dean Pelton, who is both a character actor for the Dean and also has an Oscar for writing.
Yeah.
Yeah, just one of those where it's like, oh, okay. You found your niches and you fill them. You fill them very well.
Yeah, your niches. You also have a lot of very cool friends that say, hey, you're smart and cool and good at what you do. Yeah. Help me out.
Yeah. I quite like that. I think I think he's very talented. It's always just charming to see him pop up in things, for sure.
Well, now that I know who he is, what he does, I'll keep my eyes peeled.
Yeah, because he'll show up a few more times. I know one other time in particular. He's very prominent. Like it's just his face with a mustache. Like they barely tried anything to hide him.
I'm just imagining the Groucho Marx glasses mustache nose combo.
But yeah, so a lot of really great talent involved in the show, involved in this episode specifically. And I really like the dynamic that they build up of mutually assured destruction leading itself to mutually assured destruction, where like Skaldak is, you know, rifling around the ship knowing that, you know, he's alone. He's popped himself out of his armor, so he's as vulnerable as he can be, but he's also as dangerous as he could be.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, he's surrounded on all parts by Russian Soviet soldiers who are all itching for a fight because they're in the Cold War.
They're in the mommy and daddy aren't talking together war.
Yeah, so it's a very like
passive aggressive. Tensions are high.
Yeah, tensions are high. They found a way to like condense the narrative of the Cold War into the episode. I just think it's a good time.
Yeah.
Like it's not high art, but it's certainly there's a lot of thought that went into it.
No, it's a good episode.
Yeah.
I do have one complaint.
Okay.
Why have we not gotten a Doctor Who Goes to Vegas episode?
Because he keeps missing, apparently.
Oh, my God. Because he bum rushes out of the TARDIS going, Vegas, baby. And I went, we have not had.
Wearing his big golden.
We haven't had a Doctor Goes to Vegas episode.
We haven't had
a Doctor Goes to Vegas or a Doctor Beach episode.
I mean, the last time we had a Doctor Beach episode, he got shot.
That was a lake bank. That doesn't count.
I mean, the people in Colorado.
I'm talking, I need like a Gidget level episode where the Doctor goes to the beach and is part of a surfing competition.
And that's the extent of the drama is just.
Yes. Or they go to Vegas.
You just want these characters to have a good time.
Big, and he's like, you know, saying that he can't gamble because he's too good at it or mm-hmm. something. But then there's like an alien on the casino floor that he's like trying to go after.
The Doctor just wanders into the casino scene. Could you imagine if
this was one of the rare episodes where the Doctor had a child companion and they have to go to Vegas?
And so he keeps having to leave the child outside buildings.
He has to leave him on the like patterned rug and be like, stay here.
If he had actually picked up Amelia Pond when she was a child.
Oh my God.
It's just like, you can't come in. Don't talk to anyone.
No, kids can still go into casinos. You're so wrong, and you keep saying wrong facts because casino floors have two.
You keep saying wrong facts.
There are two types of carpets in casinos. There is where the gambling tables are in the slot machines, and that's one patterned rug. And then the like passing through like walkway rugs that have a completely different pattern. Mm-hmm. So you as a child can still pass through a casino. You cannot step onto where the like where you gamble and where you can, you know, lose all your money and your life and your wife.
Mm. I think it's because my frame for like casinos is I only ever really went on in a quote unquote casino when I was on a cruise ship.
Yeah, you haven't ever had a good time. That's fine.
I did have a good time. I made some money. But I never had to the differentiation of carpet was also just like, this is the casino versus it isn't.
Yeah. So you've been to, not real casino. You were on a cruise ship, you white man, get out of here.
Shut up. It was a graduation present from high school. I had,
oh, now you're rich. Okay.
Actually, it was a graduation present for my brother from high school. But anyway. Anyway.
Oh, good. So your whole rich family could afford to take both kids on a cool cruise. Must be nice.
You stupid white bitch. I am a little perplexed why they would think that thing is a mammoth.
It was obviously man-shaped.
Yeah, it was obvious.
Like, it could not have been in a smaller block of ice, and they went, mammoth? Must be a mammoth.
Yeah, it must be a mammoth.
Like, must what, be did a you think skinny, it was a mammoth tall mammoth.
Just a single mammoth leg? Just a...
Like, boys, you've seen a mammoth, right?
You've seen an elephant, right? Mammoths were bigger.
Why would you think that was a mammoth? If they had said something like, oh, it must be like a Neanderthal. Okay. Oh, I'll buy it. Mm-hmm. Because they did die out at some point, and surely there is some humanoid under the ice.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's just, a mammoth?
Maybe that was a little one, just like a baby mammoth.
A tall, man-shaped baby mammoth?
A mammoth.
Okay. It could have been a man myth.
A man myth, a legend.
Hmm. The missing link.
I think you might have looked away when I had what I had thought would be your favorite moment of the episode, and so I was a little bummed by it. I don't know if you.
Okay, yeah, because my favorite moment of the episode was the second Skaldak started to speak, and I went, oh.
Okay.
Was my favorite part.
My favorite moment was what I thought would be your favorite moment was early on when they're tying the doctor up to a pole and they start rifling through his pockets and start pulling out things like a doll and a ball of twine. And I thought Cassie would have just really liked going, what has the doctor got in his pockets?
Nah, I was more upset that it was a Barbie doll that looked not unlike Rose. And I went, get over yourself.
Get over your ex already.
Ugh. She's moved on with another version of you.
She's still with baby girl Davy Tenney.
Yeah, fucking get over it.
No point for me this episode.
Yeah, no, I liked listening to Skaldak speak.
Skaldak.
It was cool.
Yeah, Nicholas Briggs
is. Hey, you can do more of that.
Yes, okay. Hello. Like, I am Skaldak.
It's like barely picking it up on the feet.
I have to get closer then.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Banana.
Banana who?
Orange, you glad I didn't say banana? I whiffed it.
I've got one for you. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Doctor.
See, the joke there is that if it was somebody at my door and they announced that they were a doctor, I would pretend I wasn't home.
Someone announced they were a doctor, you'd just start yelling like Dorian at the end of the last season.
When
Doctor who?
I just start closing the windows and pretending that they were closed the entire time and slowly backing away from the door and hiding under the counter.
Disappearing like Homer Simpson into a bush.
Yes.
I like the moment. There's a moment in the middle of it where Stepashin is like trying to like talk to Skaldak, and he's like, "We're both warriors. We're both meant for fighting. We're both meant for fighting. We shouldn't be doing this thing that we're doing." And Skaldak is just like, "Oh, that's cute. Anyway, I'm going to hold your head for a minute. How's this?"
Yeah, Skaldak.
We're both warriors, are we? How much of a warrior are you? What I've got you in my hands.
Yeah, Skaldak spends a considerable amount of time just caressing faces,
just playing with his food.
Yeah. With his little arcade claw grip.
I do like that, because they only sort of, like, half-humanize Stepashin by having him be this, like, I'm a warrior and I need to be in a fight kind of mentality. Which always feels kind of lame. But it's when the doctor comes back and finds his body and pulls his wallet out, and on the left side of it is just a picture of a girl. And you're like, aw, he had a girl that liked his warrior side. Yeah. If only she knew he was a dick.
Aw, he had a woman in his wallet.
He had a woman in his wallet.
Aw.
I've got a wallet in my pocket and a woman in my wallet. there was a few lines I really liked that I thought were warranted re-mentioning. There's a part in it where the doctor says, I'm always serious, with days off.
Which is of course, you liked that.
Well, it's really funny remembering that he said that in the past he says, I'm like, never be serious, never on purpose. Like he's saying the exact opposite of what he has said in the past. And I really think that's funny. Another one that where he's saying that he's telling the captain that he can't go see Skaldak because Skaldak will see him as an enemy soldier. Because one soldier can always smell it off the other. And the captain.
One soldier can always tell.
Yeah, and then the captain goes, and he won't smell it on you. And the doctor's like, shut up, captain. You're not supposed to know that. I'm supposed to be charming. And Clara's like, I don't smell like anything.
She doesn't.
She doesn't. Never fought a battle in her life.
No.
Unless you count Dalek, Clara. She's probably fought a battle or two.
I mean, are they the same person, though? Who's to say? They look exactly the same, and they have the same exact name, but they might be different people.
They also do show one way that Clara is different from all the Doctor's previous companions. In this one, the Doctor tells Clara to stay put. He goes, no arguing. She's like, I'm not arguing. I'm staying right here.
Yep.
Every other companion just gets told to stay, and they wander off somewhere, either out of curiosity or because they're scared or because they think they're going to be brave. They go wander off and do something. This is the first time she stays put.
Yep. Yep, yep, yep.
And the Doctor seems confused by that. I really like that he's like, well, good. Good. It's good that you're staying because I told you to.
I also like that Clara had a moment of, because it was very relatable, where she was like, something went wrong. It wasn't my fault. So I know that it's not, I didn't do anything wrong. But like, we failed, but it wasn't my fault. It's like, wow, that's so relatable.
There really is a part of it where she's like, yeah, I do feel bad because we're in a shitty place, but I know it wasn't my fault, but I can't blame anybody. It just sucks. But Clara, there's a point early on where Clara like passes out underwater, and I'm like, she should be purple. She should be so cold.
Yeah.
She just passed out in frozen North Pole water.
Speaking of passed out, and you should be acting way different than you're acting now, TARDIS just dips.
Yeah, the TARDIS.
She goes, bye, fuckers.
He's like, I'm not here for the sea. No, I'm going to Vegas. Bye, bitches.
Yeah.
That would be so much funnier to me if instead of going to the, like, because obviously the joke at the end of the episode is that they're in the North Pole and the TARDIS appeared at the South Pole. I think it would have been way funnier if the TARDIS went to Vegas without them.
What is she doing on Fremont Street? What?
But they don't seem that alarmed that their means of transportation is clear across the globe.
Well, I will say, I think part of it is like it's the end of like a very stressful day. And so there's part of it where they're just like, well, at least we're safe. We're not going to die. And I do like the Doctor turning to the submarine captain, like, can we get a lift to the South Pole?
And he just laughs and laughs.
Because the answer to that, the answer to a real question, how the fuck do they get the TARDIS back? Because that sounded like a no.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
The lackadaisical mentality around the TARDIS just whoop.
Yeah, I think I could understand for a second Clara being like, I wonder if it's supposed to do that. Like, does this happen all the time? Because I've only been on like one adventure with him so far. Maybe it just dips sometimes. Maybe I shouldn't be worried. The Doctor's like, oh no, I did that. I turned on the emergency, the HADS. I don't remember what it stood for, but basically it displaces the TARDIS whenever it detects it's being attacked by the environment, such as the water coming in and probably threatening to crush it. And so that's why the TARDIS disappeared.
I think TARDIS went, nope, too cold.
It's really funny, like, after the Doctor's wife, it is really funny to attribute basically anything that the TARDIS does to its living, like, to it being a person and being like, no. Like, right now, the fact that the TARDIS doesn't like Clara, it just is a catfight. She's just like...
It's just her saying, we look too much alike. There can only be one of us.
Looky here, you pixie-looking bitch. He is my man. I don't know where you're coming in here from. I only share him with one other person, and her name is River Song, and she's in a library right now.
And that's because she's so strong.
And that's because I like her hair. I do like that a lot of Skaldak's motivation is centered around, like, almost survivor's guilt in a way.
Well, he and the Doctor have that in common.
Yeah, well, exactly. Like, especially because there's a part of it where he, like, has to settle with the fact that he's been asleep for 5,000 years.
And my daughter is dust.
Yeah, when he tells them the 5,000 years, and he thinks that no one is responding to his distress signal, so he thinks, very justifiably, the Martians are dead. There is no one coming to get him.
I mean, in 5,000 years, if I woke up in a block of ice
and a different species woke you up.
Yeah, I would also assume that
not just everyone you know and love, everyone they knew and love, and everyone as a part of the species as you understood is gone.
My kin gone.
And so I really like that as motivation, because it really makes you feel like he is desperate and clawing and he's not in his right mind. Like, he's definitely he's a soldier and a warrior. So there's always a part of it where it's like, this is always going to be tense. But the fact that he's like a warrior who has been like pushed to the edge. So he's like a caged dog backed into a corner.
Mm-hmm.
I like that brings out this whole other side to him. And then at the end, when the Martian UFO does show up and pull them back and abducts the Martian back onto his ship, I do like to picture that he was just like, okay, we don't have to kill Earth, everybody. Now that I got friends again.
Now that I realized I'm not alone.
Let's go hit Mars, Dave and Buster's.
Let's go to Mars, Vegas. Mars-garitaville.
Let's go eat some Mars bars. Good times. I do really like the UFO design.
Can I say?
Sure.
There were like 6 vaginas on it.
I mean, I do like the classic like saucer design for sure.
Well, yeah, no, I had the saucer element to it, but there were also
just a lot.
6 vaginas on it.
You talk about the things that were like glowing purple.
Yes.
Everyone knows vaginas glow a pinkish purple.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, I know that. I don't need you to tell me. I've seen.
Yeah, how do you think I find my way to the bathroom every night?
Is that why when I hear you get up in the middle of the night, you go?
Yeah, that's how you turn it on. But I'm not clapping my hands. Yeah, you gotta.
Your cheeks.
Exactly.
That's impressive that you could do that on command.
Thank you.
Some people need a warm up.
Thank you.
Well, next episode, I'm really excited to show to you, because it's going to be a ghost episode. Not just a spooky haunted episode. This one specifically is going to be following a ghost hunter. And I know you have such a fondness for ghost hunters.
I do.
So much so that your boyfriend's name is Zach. Not Zach Baggins, but you know.
Well, yeah, you don't spell yours the cool way with a K.
Everyone who spells Zach with a K is secretly a jerk.
Oh, okay. Tell that to Oyama.
Sorry, with a CK. I should clarify.
Zach Baggins spells his with a K.
Oh,
dude.
With just a K? Then I guess he's fine. Okay, he's fine. He passes the smell test.
Yeah, he has his own museum in Vegas. What?
We brought it full circle. Well, God. I guess we'll find out what you think about this other ghost hunter on the next episode of Who Is My Doctor?
Who is my doctor? See, I'm getting prepared.
Hey, folks. So, turns out most of Doctor Who just disappeared off of streaming services. The Disney stuff is still on Disney Plus, but the first 13 seasons of Modern Who just aren't available to stream in America or Italy or Spain or Portugal or a bunch of places. Can't help but feel like our little podcast is being hurt to give the BBC a bargaining chip with Disney. You could help us out, though, by being sure you're subscribed to this podcast. Or if you'd like to support us directly, you can find us on Patreon at patreon.com/whoismydoctor, where for as little as $1 a month, you can get episodes of this podcast a whole week early. Special thanks, as always, to our Big Daddy Dalek patrons, Andrew Blewett, David Gansel, and Travis Aiken. So far, we've seen a ghost galaxy, we've been on a submarine, so next week, we need to continue our Disneyland journey by heading to a haunted mansion. So we'll see you next Tuesday, because your Tuesdays are now Who's Days.